Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, our text is found in verses 1 through 5. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half-tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and another half-tribe on the other side of Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their sustenance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Thank you, Father, that you have provided for us the Holy Scriptures, that we might know your ways. We delight to know your ways. We desire to walk in your ways. And we pray that during these few moments, as we meditate in your word, that you would instruct us by your Spirit to the ways in which you would have us to walk, we might please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The lot of the Christian. I think there are many occasions in life where we are permitted to see the depths of perverseness of the human heart. I suppose one way of finding out what a man is like is putting him behind a steering wheel. It's amazing when a man gets in a car how some of his attitudes can show forth. It's amazing how nasty a person can become when he gets behind a steering wheel, and how certain we become of our inviolable rights as we go down the road. This, of course, has been notoriously so during these last few weeks here in Michigan, as we've had a lot of snow, and because of the snow, streets that are two-way traffic have become one-lane traffic. And as a result, there are traffic tie-ups. I think the most outstanding one was related to me by my sister. I had a few experiences and others that related experiences to me, but she mentioned one day she was going home from work, came to one of these sections of a two-way street with one-way traffic, and there were several cars lined up in both directions, and she was stuck in halfway through one of the lineups, and the cars refused to move either way. Nobody was going to give in. Nobody wanted to back up. Nobody wanted to move. Well, there's no place to move over. There were cars parked on both sides. And so the only thing she could do was shut off her ignition, and she said they sat there for 15 minutes until finally somebody who was in a position where he was able to move decided he would move. And so we find that human nature comes forth in these situations. I think perhaps another situation that is characteristically common for human nature to shine forth is in the area of the inheritance. Well, you remember the man that came to Jesus and said, Lord, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. And Jesus said, well, who made me an inheritance divider among you? And so we find this is a very common thing, and people will begin talking, well, my cousin went through my uncle's house before the executor got there and took out all the goodies. You know. Well, it's all those little goodies that bring problems. And I sometimes wonder if the uncle had known how everybody was going to fight over everything he had, he would have spent it before he died and saved them the trouble. But then, of course, they'd have been mad at him because he had no right to spend it. He was supposed to leave it to them anyway. And so you can't win no matter what you do when it comes to an inheritance. And And so as they came to the promised land, the Israelites entered the promised land, and Joshua, the armies of Israel, conquered the promised land. This was great, and the land was conquered, and we read that the land ceased from war. And now comes the sticky part. You got to split it up. And how are you going to do that? Dividing up the land so that everybody would be happy. And as I read this, I just had a little thought hit the back of my mind. Good luck, Joshua. Divide the land up so everybody's going to be happy. I think as we look at this portion of Scripture and the things we see here, we can say that there are two very important things for dividing an inheritance. And I think the first thing we can mention for dividing an inheritance, the first thing you need to do is plan ahead. If it's going to be done right, I think this is something that we should be aware of today, that we should plan ahead. We tell people to do this regarding your eternal salvation. Have you thought as to where you will spend eternity? Have you considered where you will go when you die? Have you thought as to what you will say as you face God? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to stand before God? And there is the exhortation there that you need to plan ahead. You need to think now as to where you will spend eternity. You need to think now as to what is your relationship with God. Are you ready to die? And regarding the future, we need to plan ahead. And this is so regarding our eternal salvation. But you know, this is also so regarding our family's preservation. And so, perhaps you die, maybe you say, well, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to meet the Lord. But there's another consideration then. What about your family? Have you taken proper thought for them? Have you planned ahead for them? And the matter there of planning for their needs, not only your own needs, which is, of course, very important, but for your family needs. What will they do when you die? Do you know who the executor will be? Do you know who will take care of your children if both your husband and wife should die and you have small children? Do you know who's going to get what and how it's going to be divided? If you have special heirlooms, how are you going to be sure who will have those? And about the only way you can be sure of that is to make a will. And you ought to plan for that and make sure that you know what's going to happen. And so to properly divide an inheritance, even if you don't have much, to do it properly, you really need to make a will. And some people say, well, that's a lot of expense. Well, it's true, there's expense involved. When you consider what you get for it, it's not really that much. Supposing for a husband and a wife, it might cost $100 for the two wills. When you consider what this would mean in the lives of your children, this is a very, very important thing. Of course, we all think that nothing ever is going to happen to us, but we don't know what's going to happen to us. And so to make this, to think ahead and plan as to what would be the way in which God would be honored and glorified after your decease, and to make this legal, then an ounce of prevention here is worth, really saves a ton of headaches afterwards, and it's worth $100 if you can get that taken care of. And so you think about dying, you say, well, I'm going to go and be with the Lord, and so that's all I'm worrying about. Then you have to remember that there are others who will stay behind, and you need to make things as easy for them as you can. So you need to plan ahead. You need to make sure that your wife knows something about your business, something about the affairs of the family, that she knows where the checkbooks are and anything else that she needs to know about, so that she will not be caught unprepared. The greatest mistake is not to prepare for your own eternal salvation, but a very serious mistake is not to provide for the needs of your loved ones after you go. And this is what God did here. God planned for Israel. And we see that God planned very specifically. We have here in verses 2 and 3, for example, the specific heirs were named. And he mentions here in verse 2 that he provided specifically for the 9 tribes and the half a tribe. And then we find that it was 9.5 because the 2.5 tribes were already taken care of on the other side of Jordan. They had received their inheritance there. We find that it refers to the fact that the tribe of Levi was not included in this particular inheritance. And then he clarifies specific details in verse 4 and says that to clarify things here, some might say, well, how come Ephraim and Manasseh each receive an inheritance? After all, they weren't sons of Jacob. And so it's clarified that Joseph was Joseph received a double portion since he was chosen for the position here of the firstborn, received a double portion, and so Manasseh and Ephraim each received a full portion. And the Levites, although they did not get an inheritance, a portion of land, that the Levites were to receive cities with the suburbs of those cities for their cattle. And so everything here is very specific. Specific heirs and all the special details as to just exactly how this land was to be divided up. And so God took very special pains here to make sure that this was understood as to how the land was divided and why it was divided in that way. And not only that, but we find that God even pointed qualified executors for this division of the inheritance that he was giving to Israel. And we read here that he mentions very specifically that as they gathered together to make this division, Eleazar the priest should be there. Now, Eleazar the priest was the man who knew the Word of God and knew God, and so he was God's representative there, knowing God's ways and the things of God, the assurance being that everything there would go in a way that was right, in a way that was just, a way that was pleasing to God. And so he was on this executor team for the portioning out of the land of Canaan. We find that Joshua was also named as one that should be there at this particular time, and Joshua knew the land. He was the one that led the armies around through the conquest of the land, and he knew the hills and the dales and the cities and was able to define the land, and we see that this is exactly what they did in chapters 15 through 19. We have a complete description of the inheritance of each one and the cities that were included in their inheritance. And so Joshua knew each tribe knew their borders and was able to define clearly the inheritance of each one. And then not only that, but we find that there were the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel there as well. And the heads of the people knew the people. They knew, each one knew their own tribe. They knew how many people were in the tribe and what kind of people they were, what their occupations were, what kind of land they needed, the specific needs of the tribes, their occupations, what would be an inheritance that would be appropriate for each one, whether they would need hills or vales or if they needed well-watered land or could use a type of a wilderness areas, just all these various areas and the various tribes. And so the heads of the fathers knew each tribe and they would represent each tribe as to the appropriateness of each inheritance that was received. And so these were the ones that God had named to be in charge of this, and this was all planned in advance. We find, for example, as we look back in the scriptures, in Numbers chapter 33 and verse 54, Numbers 33:54, the Lord says, "And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit." And so we find here that they were to have the size of their inheritance was to be according to the size of their tribes, and the place of their inheritance was to be according to the lot that would be chosen for them. And God says to Moses, it shall be done by lot. And God planned ahead of time for that, the size and by the need and the location by the lot. And then in Numbers chapter 34, verses 1 to 12, we find that God gives a description of the entire inheritance. And in those verses, we have laid out for us the overall inheritance of Canaan that was to be divided amongst them. And then in verses 13 to 15 of Numbers chapter 34, we are told which would be the exact tribes that would participate in that particular inheritance, describing which ones would and which ones wouldn't and why not. And this was back when Moses was still living, before they even crossed the Jordan and before they conquered the Promised Land. And then in Numbers chapter 34 and verses 16 to 29, we find the executors of the specifically named leaders of each tribe. And we read in there in Numbers 34:17, "These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you: Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun. And ye shall take one prince from every tribe to divide the land by inheritance." And the names of the men of these, and there we have a list of the specific name of every man that would represent each and every tribe. And so this was given by God to Moses even before they crossed the Jordan. So this was a planned inheritance. This was a planned division of the land. And God gave this ahead of time. And so when we want to do the job right and divide the inheritance properly, God says, plan ahead. And so at the last minute, there was no question, well, here we are, we've conquered the land, now what do we do? They knew what they were going to do. They knew that Eleazar the priest was going to be there. They knew that Joshua was going to be there. And they knew the names of the other 10 men that were going to be there to properly and appropriately divide that land so that there would not be any questions amongst any of the members of any of the tribes. But what this was done decently and in order, and this was the will of God for them. And so to divide an inheritance, first of all, you have to plan ahead. And the second thing you have to do is you have to look to God. And we find that the means that was used was the lot. And in each one of these situations, it is, the fact is referred to that this would be done by lot. And every mention of the land of Canaan, we find that it's mentioned, "This shall be divided to you by lot." And in Numbers chapter 34 and verse 13, Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, "This is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and the half tribe." And so it was to be by lot. No mention was made of dividing by lot to the tribes on the other side of Jordan, the two and a half tribes, because with them it was already confirmed by God that this was appropriate for them. They themselves have said, "We are men of cattle, and this area is appropriate for grazing. And so let thy servants remain here, and we'll send men over to help you conquer the other side." And so it was very appropriate and confirmed by God. But on the other side, we read that the land was given to them by lot. Now, we don't know exactly what that refers to. The commentaries are divided on this as to what is meant by the lot. And there are various speculations as to what this refers to. One possibility as to what this refers to is that this would be that which is mentioned in, for example, in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 30, that which is called the Urim and the Thummim. In Numbers 28:30, there's a reference to this in the garments of the priest. I'm sorry, Exodus 28:30. That's why I wasn't finding it. Exodus 28:30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment, this is that which the priest wore, the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And Aaron carried in his breastplate, it is thought that it was used then for counsel. In fact, we find references to this in, for example, in Numbers chapter 27 and verses 18 to 21. Numbers 27, beginning with verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And so we find that the purpose of this, which Aaron carried in his breastplate, this Urim and Thummim, was for counsel. And this is the way in which they got counsel from the Lord. And so it's possible that this is what is referred to here, that this is the way they got counsel from the Lord as to which part of the country was to be for which tribe. But no matter what it is that was used, the result is very clear. The result is that they knew that what they had was from God. It sealed in the minds of the Israelites the will of God as to the place and nature of their inheritance. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33 says, The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And so the picture is that this is the way that God made it very clear to them, this is the inheritance that he has for us. This is the place where he wants us. Proverbs 18:18, the lot causeth contentions to cease. If there's a question as to something, find out what does the Lord say about this. And the Lord, by this means, causes his will to be made known. And amongst believers, then, there's no further question. This is the will of God. This is God's plan. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 26, regarding the matter of Matthias and choosing someone to take the place of Judas, we read that they used lots there, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and this would then seemingly be something of a different nature. But the purpose there, that the thing they had in mind, was finding very specifically the will of God. So no matter how it was done, the result was that they knew this is God's place for us. This is the inheritance that God has for us as a tribe. And each one had that particular assurance. And this is expressed in Psalm 47 and verse 4, where we read, He shall choose our inheritance for us. And so they were certain, each one, that they had what was from God and what was God's will for them. And as a result, realizing that this is what God had for them, and seeing the marvelous way in God, which God did this. I'm sure as each tribe settled in to the place that God chose for them, they began to see how carefully God had placed them, how carefully God had given each one of them a location that was very appropriate for their own needs and their own abilities and their own specific talents, just very appropriate. And so they could say, as we read in Psalm 16 and verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. And I think there it's referring to the lines of making the borders. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And so each Israelite could say with joy, the size and location and qualities of each inheritance was chosen for them by God according to each specific need. And this is God's provision for me. If it were just in the hands of men, we'd say, well, the men made a mistake. But there was the assurance in each of these cases that this is God's plan. And so there was no opportunity for the feeling that a man had made a mistake or there was an evil intent on the part of some, but that this was rather God's perfect provision. And this brings real peace and assurance to us as we know that what we have is specifically from God. It's God's provision. It's God's direction. I think this is a very, very important thing as we consider our life's work, our vocation, to specifically know what God wants us to do, and specifically know where God wants us to be, these are very important things that we need to pray about and lay before the Lord. I know as we went as missionaries to Chile, we waited upon the Lord for His direction, and sometimes we became a little discouraged. It didn't come right when we expected it to come or wanted it to come, and we really sat around for a while feeling rather useless and wondering what God was doing and why He wasn't telling us where He wanted us to go and what He wanted us to do. But you know, then when God did open up the way, it was so clear, so definite. I think that's one of the things that kept us in Chile. We were there for 17 years. And when we left, we were... I think there was one other missionary that had been there longer than we had. All the others had come and gone, and we were still there. And it wasn't that many times we hadn't thought about leaving. But you know, each time there was that assurance in our hearts, God called us here, and we're staying until God calls us someplace else. And so this was a tremendous thing, and it's so important that we have that clear direction from God, and there's a real peace as we are assured of this, that God has led in this, and He's confirmed His will to us, that this is what He has in mind. And so then we can say, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. And knowing that God directs in our lives and He leads in these specific ways. And this is true as well in our daily lives. It's so important to recognize the hand of God, even in the things of our daily lives, that He is leading us into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake and the paths of blessing that He might be glorified. Just a while back, as I had the opportunity of going to Chicago for a few days, as I the hotel room that I had was kind of cold, and I tried to get some heat to it, and I thought the situation was solved, and went to bed and went to sleep, and woke up about 6 o'clock in the morning absolutely frozen. I was stiff like a board. I was so cold, and my throat was sore, and I knew I had it. At that minute, I knew that a cold was coming on. I was just completely chilled all the way through. And as I mentioned this later to one of the men, the first thing he said to me was, did you thank the Lord for that cold room? And it hadn't occurred to me, no, I had to confess. You know, I'd heard that little angle, but it just hadn't occurred to me that morning. But you know, the Lord impressed it upon me later that, you know, of all the hundreds of rooms in that hotel, that I had to get the one with the broken thermostat or whatever it was, that's really not a mistake, and that God had a perfect plan in that. Now, before that, I had noticed with somewhat amazement that I hadn't been sick for a whole year. I hadn't missed a Sunday or a Wednesday for illness for a whole year. In fact, longer than that, but the year before, I was sick one Sunday, and it fell on a specific Sunday when we had it invited long before a special speaker to come. And so it didn't matter that I was sick. And a whole year had gone by. And so here I was. I knew I was done for. I knew I was coming down with a vicious sore throat. So as we made plans for that Sunday for getting some speakers to take my place for that day, then we had the snow. The snow came. And it turned out to be a snow day, and we didn't need any speakers that day. And I thought back about that kind friend who said, did you thank the Lord for the cold room? You know, wasn't it amazing how God timed that? The very week when the snowstorm came and we didn't have any responsibilities anyway for that day was the very day in which I was sick. And the Lord timed it, and the way He did it was by the cold room. And so it was a good week. I had to spend a couple of days in bed to get over my cold, but I had a couple of days to get at some projects that I hadn't had time to work on before, And it was just a great week. And I looked back at the timing of God, the planning of God in these things. You know, as I was laying there 6 o'clock in the morning, half frozen, I really wasn't thinking about the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And yet, how perfectly the Lord times the matters of our lives. And certainly the lot of the Christian is a glorious lot, as we are able to realize how closely and carefully God plans the things of our lives. And as the Israelites looked over that country that God gave them, and amazed at how beautifully each inheritance was suited for each tribe, and we can look at our lives and just see how marvelously God suits the circumstances of our lives to bring glory and honor to His name and joy to our hearts as we see Him do this. I thought as I meditate on this, I thought of Paul's response in Romans chapter 11 and verses 33 and on. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Certainly, as Christians, we can rejoice in this marvelous sovereignty of God by which He guides so graciously in our lives. This, indeed, is the glorious lot of the Christian whose life is in the hands of a loving and gracious Heavenly Father. So we bow in prayer. Father, we do thank You at this time that just as Israel could marvel at the way in which You brought them into the land, the way in which You divided up the land, the way in which You provided so carefully for each of them according to their needs, and could rejoice then and marvel at Your love toward them. We thank You that this is the very same response that we can have today. Certainly the lines have fallen unto us in pleasant places. And although there are at times things we do not understand, we have the glorious assurance of Your marvelous wisdom with which You so carefully direct the affairs of our lives to bring great glory to Your name and great joy to our hearts. And so as we look to this week that we are entering into, we thank You, Father, that we can look with anticipation, knowing that You plan these things ahead. None of these things are left for last minute. None of these things are taking us by chance. None of these things are taking Thee by surprise. But You are carefully planning ahead and lovingly dividing out to us our inheritance that we might rejoice in Thy goodness. We thank You for this. And marvel at Your goodness and rejoice in Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we sing in closing number 281? He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. 281, shall we stand as we sing?